Hi, everybody. Just before we get started, I thought I'd remind everybody that it's that time of year again. The podcast awards are on and they're taking nominations, and we're trying to get our shows nominated. So if you want to help us out, you can shoot over to podcastawards.com and put down a nomination. We're trying to get Geek actually into either the technology or the entertainment categories, and Film actually into the movies and films categories. And of course, there's always the People's Choice Awards, and you can put us to either show down in that. So if you want to help us out, shoot over to podcastawards.com and nominate us today. Thanks a lot. Everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 145 for the 24th of September, 2011. And that's right, we're back. Finally. It's only been, what, 4 weeks? 3 weeks? Whatever it's been. I am David.
I was a little too hard back then. My hair's all out now.
Yeah, you should have seen it. It's going right off. Yeah.
Shall we do a sound off here? Because people are going, what? I am David McVeigh. I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh, with your luscious hair?
With my luscious hair. I was moshing to our amazing intro music, and unfortunately I messed up my hair. I'm great, man.
That's
great.
Cool.
Good.
Not tired?
Not tired. Halfway through a Red Bull, probably three quarters. I'm starting to feel a bit jazzed.
It's cool. Are we ready to get geeky?
Yes. It has been far too many weeks.
And here in the center of the table, we are also joined by Richard Gray. How are you, Richard?
Yeah,
I'm Richard tired. Gere?
Richard Gere.
Richard Gere. How do we get Richard Gere on the show? That's what I want to know. And now, Richard does look tired on the other.
No, I'm tired as well. I've been up a couple of mornings early this week.
Really? I didn't know.
For something that didn't happen but might happen, and I won't talk about it because I don't want to jinx it. But
And I was also along. Yes. I was along for the ride. It's been I was saying to Katie, my lovely wife Katie, that tomorrow, our son went to camp today, and so tomorrow we're just going to sleep in. It's like no more moving, no more having to get up for these weird things that we're supposed to be doing that we can't talk about, and just no more shows. Just sleep in. Straight sleep. What a concept.
Straight sleep.
What a concept. That's it.
Yeah, dude, I did the same thing on Friday. It was just like I took a full day off. I didn't care. Yay. Wasn't interested.
Isn't that great?
Not doing anything. Didn't even care. Got angry emails. Don't care. Just putting it in the back of my mind. Deal with it on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Which I've done. So, yeah, no. Some days, man, you just got
to
do it.
Absolutely. And then back to work on Monday and everything else. But Sunday morning, sleep. Okay, this is Geek Actually. This is the... God, what is this show about again? It's been so long since we've done one of these.
This is the show about all the geek crap that we care about.
Oh, you're reading my notes.
Oh, wait, sorry.
No, please continue.
So I've forgotten what it's about. I had to read the notes.
See, and you're not even in the hosted by line because you said you weren't coming and then suddenly you decided to come. Yeah. So anyway.
You just leave him there constantly.
Just teasing.
All right. So, this is basically a combination of our old tech show and our old after show. We blend them together and we get this weird-ass crap show that just is about anything. And we actually have a story. We got a little bit of feedback we got to talk about. There's two stories that are very visual. And for our audio listeners, I do apologize. I'm going to try and put the photos up on the site because I don't even know where the site is that these came from. So we'll put a post up on Geek Actually that has these photos because they are a killer. So let's get on to some feedback here. Oh, we also have to say thank you to Delta Knight, who's been standing by waiting for us to come back because he does our research for us
and doing notes anyway.
And he did all the show notes last week and goes, I'm not sure if there's a show this week, but here are your links. It's like, so thank you very much for sticking with us. All right. Now, the first piece of feedback we have is actually from Delta Knight, funnily enough. He sent us an email and told us about this Post-it note war. Did you guys catch up with this at all?
I was waiting for this live on the show.
This is genius, man. All right, I've got some photos from this here, and we're going to play these here. Basically, according to his email, now, Delta, if you have a link to where this came from, that'll make life a lot easier because I'll put it in the show notes. If you don't, I'm going to put these photos up on the site, and we'll figure it out. And he's just sitting in our chat room. By the way, we do go out live. You can actually join our chat room. He's put in our chat room, I want to do this at my office. No. All right, so... basically, it says here, employees of Ubisoft,
yes,
in Montreal, near Paris. Montreal? I don't know how to pronounce that. How do you pronounce that?
It's not Montreal.
No, it's not Montreal. Montreal is spelt differently. Have a look.
Oh, it's in Paris. Sorry.
It's in Paris. Montreal? Montreal?
Oh, wow. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Now you understand, right? No, if it was Montreal, I'd be able to say
I thought
right?
you were just being, you know, crass. No, I'm not. I was like, dude, all right. Come on.
For all those French people out there, Montreuil.
Yeah.
All right, so
it's probably pronounced Montreal.
Located just outside of Paris, they decided to decorate their windows with post-it note pixel art, and it looks something like this. All right, which is an amazing piece of artwork when you think about it. It's made up of colored post-it notes all stuck to the windows, and that's really fantastic, right? Mm. All right, so it escalates though, all right? And it says across the street, the folks at BNP Bank saw Ubisoft's mostly game theme art and decided to one up it with some creations of their own. And
pun definitely intended.
And they did this. Right?
Wow.
And so now the windows of both buildings are covered in sticky notes, and it starts to look something like this. So we've got one building that looks like this, and then we've got another building that looks like this. Right? And then we also have another building that looks like this. Right?
That's so cool.
All these buildings doing their post-it note. But Ubisoft decided that it was time to bring this to conclusion, basically. Said Ubisoft wouldn't go down easily, so they made this three-story piece of art of Ezio from Assassin's Creed that goes over three floors.
Wow.
Win.
So that's their win. Well, not quite, apparently, because just as Ubisoft sat there going, ha, 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 we've won the post-it war, the Societe Generale Bank across the road decided that they would get involved, and they produced this monstrous Asterix and Obelix across their windows.
Dude, that's great.
Which goes for, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 floors.
That's so cool. Yeah,
so that is.
I know, freak. I'm thinking the same thing. Do these guys have fucking jobs or not?
Well, that's Katie,
no one would let me do that at my job.
I showed this to my wife and she goes, first of all, where do you get all the colored post-it notes? And secondly, how much time do these people have? Yeah. You know, it's like, it's just amazing.
I find it great that Ubisoft spent all that time advertising Nintendo's characters.
Yeah, it's very good, isn't it? And it says here that the Asterix and Obelix was 11,000 notes.
Wow.
11,000 post-it notes to make that happen. So I think the long and the short of it is that the two people who started this whole thing didn't win it. I think the bank came along and did them well.
I like ridiculous better than ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
He made a spelling mistake and I like...
Stick with ridiculous. Now, the other email that we've got here, which I just... I'm in love with these people and I want to go fly them, although I'm not sure what their safety standards are. But there's an airline out of Africa, one of the many African airlines, called Kulula Airlines. Mm. And they have a sense of humor. And I love anybody who has a sense of humor. And I'll give you an idea of what their sense of humor is. This is one of their planes. I like the fact that it's painted with this way up. painted on the side of the plane.
Hey, that gets confusing sometimes, man, when you have a long day, which way the plane should be.
All right, so that's one of their planes. Now, it says here, according to this email from my lovely mother, actually, she goes, I draw your attention to the best question ever asked by an airline by a little old lady, which is coming up.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, okay? Now it says, Kulula is a low-cost South African airline that doesn't take itself too seriously, and their planes are all painted up. And I'm going to show you another plane in a minute, which is fantastic. But there's also little anecdotes in here of what people have actually said on these planes. So I love it. One says... I have to walk through these because there's so many of them. We're not going to do them all. But it says... on Kulula flight, there is no assigned seating. You just sit where you want. Passengers were apparently having a hard time choosing when a flight attendant announced, people, we're not picking out furniture here. Find a seat and get in it. And on another flight with a very senior flight attendant crew, the pilot said, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached cruising altitude and we'll be turning down the cabin lights. This is for your comfort and to enhance the appearance of our flight attendants. All right, so this is another Kulula plane, which I love. This one's painted. This is actually the main shot, which I don't have, actually says on the side, Flight 101. So it's like to teach you about airplanes. And here's the plane here. I love the fact that it actually says secret agent code written next to the airplane number next to it. And and then when you go through it, it's painted all over. This says nose cone, radar antenna, and very big dish inside. And this one, co-captain, the other pilot on the PA system. And when you go here, it says black box. Actually, it's orange. what is it? Landing gear comes standard
with Superfly mags.
Oh, I love it. I just think these planes are fantastic. So,
dude,
if there's ever a Kalula plane, I'm going to go fly in this plane. Let's see if we got one more anecdote. Oh, the old lady. That's right. We're going to try and find the old lady here. She was quite funny. It says here, as the plane landed and was coming to a stop at Durban Airport, a lone voice came over the loudspeaker and said, "Whoa, big fella, whoa."
I'm sorry, that's so wrong.
Where's the old lady? The old lady was a classic. Oh, here we go. This one, I like this one too. This is after a real crasher of a landing in Johannesburg, the attendant came up, came on with, "Ladies and gentlemen, please remain in your seats until Captain Crash and the crew have brought the aircraft to a screeching halt against the gate. And once the tire smoke is cleared and the warning bells are silenced, we'll open the door and you can pick your way through the wreckage to the terminal."
love it.
Oh, man. It's just wrong in every way. I just love them. I think they're fantastic.
Best
airline ever. Now, where's this old lady, though? The old lady is a classic. Oh, I can't find the old lady now. Oh, you're going to have to... I'll see if I can find it. I'll put it on the site, all right? But anyway, thank you very much, Mirren, for sending that through, because that just made my day. All right. Josh, you were going to tell us about some stuff.
What?
You're going to tell us about some stuff?
No.
Games? No?
Yeah.
I believe it's a very big gaming period right now.
It is. Look, games are probably, you know, like every year, it's now sort of coming up to the period where we drop pretty much everything that is important and all of the biggest games of the year, because this is realistically when they can pull in the most revenue. We've got Christmas coming up. You've got all those gamers that only get one or two games a year that get their choice and pick out of the titles that are available. And of course, being the fact that we've had a few weeks off,
yep,
just thought we'd cover a few of the titles that have come out. If you haven't already got into it, Deus Ex is...
That's the last game we talked about.
Yeah,
so,
Deus Ex has destroyed my life for like a couple of weeks, and I now came out the end of it, and I have now officially finished it. So, definitely a contender for Game of the Year. That's definitely one of the highlights. One of the other games that's come out recently would be Gears, which came out this week. Gears 3, halfway through that now. Definitely worth the money. Don't fall into the trap a lot of people are doing about sitting there and going, "Yeah, it's Gears, but we know what it's going to be." No, you don't.
Well, we saw early trailers of Gears 3 when we were doing platforms way back, and it looked fantastic back
but
then.
But this is the thing. People put it in this, like, hole because they're like, "Well, it's Gears, so I know what I'm going to get, so I'll get it later." Don't, man. Seriously. Everyone I've showed it to so far just is completely unaware of just what they're expecting. Like, this engine has been revamped, so it doesn't look like 2. It's a very beautiful looking game. The stakes are way higher than any Gears game beforehand. The package is really worth it as well. I mean, like, if you only get a few games a year, this is a really good one to pick, because you've got single player, 4-player co-op, horde mode, beast mode, and then multiplayer. Like, this game is just jam-packed full of things to play. You have to get this one.
Sorry, I have to interrupt you for a second. Since Delta Knight says 1 or 2 a year, I purchased like 5 in the past week.
and like I said, some people, definitely not us. You're on a geek show, man, so yeah. I'm not expecting
and
it to be
Freak,
you.
Freak says, "My missus doesn't get it and always buys me fucking Wii games, no matter how many times I've told her how much I hate the Wii."
That. Space Marine is out. Ellisonth wanted me to remind people, I played a bit of it. It's all right. It'll be nice once they actually get round to pulling their finger out of their ass and giving us co-op, as opposed to having it. It's not an on-day release thing.
Right.
It's something that's going to be put in later.
We saw that again. We saw that recently in another game, too.
There's plenty of games to do it. Dead Island, surprise hit. I want everybody to be aware that if you haven't already got it, this game is worth the money, man. Chrome 5 Engine is a lot prettier than people will give it credit for. And then on top of that, the game is ridiculously huge. Like, this is an RPG game where you run around and beat up zombies, and I've never played a game that does melee combat in first person so well. Like, strikes will hit in the location that they are swinging from the angle of.
Oh, really?
When you throw items, each item will have different weights. If you hit somebody in the head with a crowbar, the character will reel backwards, if not fall over. It's like the game rewards you for trying to work with its control system. On top of that, 4-player co-op. drop in, drop out. So it's like you can be like you can be playing this game at any time and just have friends drop in and give you a hand. And it's like this is it's a great game to play single, very immersive world, because it's a surprising feeling to find any game where you can jump into it and actually feel like sometimes you want to avoid combat. Like it's a weird feeling in a first person game. The standard feeling is to just run in headlong. But because your health bar isn't ridiculously big and because enemies can take a good deal of damage, and the whole thing is getting into a fight means screaming and yelling, which means the chance of other ones coming along. Some of them run, some of them walk, some of them are massive and don't go down for like 100 hits and things like this. Like you have to work with your surroundings, throw gas cans at people and then blow them up. It's like the game does everything you ever wanted to do in a zombie game, but does it right. Because you have a really good storyline with really interesting locations. You've got survivors split into different areas. Plus, you also go out and find them and drive them back. You have vehicles. Like, this game is so in-depth, and people just seem to be avoiding it and don't. It's definitely worth the time.
Excellent, okay.
Apart from that, God, there's so many of them out at the moment. Driver San Francisco, must buy. If you at all like car games but never get into like the super simulation ones, you'll probably really enjoy this
game. Now, Richard, you've been playing the demo of Driver.
I just played it. I only popped it on last night. Yeah, no, it is good. It's a very... I'm exactly that camp. I'm not a...
And look, I mean, for most people in the games industry, this kind of reels them back when I say this, but at this stage in the year, I am willing to say that it's a contender for Game of the Year.
Oh,
like, okay. I mean, it's the game that no one's talking about, and it's like we're all going, well, it's a driving game, so we can't consider it in that camp. It's like, it's huge. It has thousands of hours of stuff to do. It has multiplayer. Like, it is as much a contender as any other game this year, and I think that to overlook it is just sad. So
Delta Knight says he didn't like Dead Island at first, but he's warming up to it now.
That's the thing. And look, I mean, there are a lot of reasons to not like Dead Island. Like, the voice acting is atrocious. I don't know what happened somewhere along the way, but the original trailers had like a Hawaiian guy as one of the dudes, and all of a sudden it changed to an Australian. And it's just like the whole lot of them is that horrible American authorized Australian accents where it's like, be Australian, but be really overly Australian. It's like you can't just let them...
The Paul Hogan complex.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's disgusting. Like, it's just like, can Americans just leave this alone? I don't care if you like the accent. It's embarrassing to the rest
it's
of
like
us.
Anytime you talk to I mean, I'm an American citizen, but I've lived here a long time. Anytime you go to America and start talking to Americans, say you come from Australia, first thing they do is they go, g'day, mate. You know, and you just go, oh, that's really embarrassing. Don't do that.
To me, Australia...
Thanks for translating.
Look, Australia has to be aware that this is borderline racism, like, in my opinion, because this is the same sort of thing as putting black people in movies and making them say damn shit and this stuff is whack.
Yeah.
It's like, essentially what you're doing is forcing a culture to be dumb. And I'm sorry, but Australia should grow up and not allow people to do this. We don't have a absolutely destructive accent. It's just that it's being forced to be overly...
That overly awkward accent really has slid away. It's out in the country and stuff like that, but it's not really heavily in the cities anymore.
Yeah.
No,
and,
I mean...
And, you know...
Well, actually, only native here. I don't sound like it at all.
No, you don't. Or my wife as well. My wife doesn't sound like that at all, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Northy, I understand. Northy has written up Driver ruined my Christmas for me back when I still depended on Christmas for games. I'm boycotting. Dude, not the same game. Like, you've got to remember, these aren't the old Driver games. This is a
Driver. This ain't your daddy's Driver.
Well, actually, funnily enough, it is daddy's Driver, because this is closest to the first game. Like, there is no shooting mechanics. There is no stupid, like, get out and massive storyline based around GTA. This is a game that is and only will be about driving and nothing else. So give it a shot. But yeah, apart from that...
I still need to get Deus Ex. That's the one I really need to get.
Yeah. So. No, absolutely. The only other ones I wanted to cover is I've had a play with both Battlefield and Call of Duty, and I'm just going to say, officially, Battlefield wins. No question. I'm sorry.
Right.
I've played both now, and I've played multiplayer on Call of Duty, and it did not wow me at all. It was the same shit again, and it was just slightly modified, and that's not good enough for
me. Oh, that's horrifying. Can you bring that up in the film, actually, Sharon?
I will.
So, Richard just found a piece of film news. We'll bring that up later. That's horrifying.
All right. And, of course, the last thing I wanted to do is just
save that for Picks of the Week.
Oh, we still have
that? Yeah, save that one for Picks of the Week, okay? Because that's a fantastic Pick of the Week. So, all right. We've got another story here that isn't actually in the show notes, but we were discussing it in the car, and I think we just need to talk about this very, very quickly, because it's just of the abstract nature of the entire thing. And it's a tragedy, so let's bear with us. But Percy Foster was a up and coming actor in his chosen field, I guess. He was a porn star, he was also a what is the politically correct word now? Small person. So a person of small stature.
Is it little person?
Little person. Mm. Midget, dwarf. I don't know. Whatever we're calling.
It might be little person.
Little person. All right. Little person. He was 3 foot something. And he was most recently in Hi Ho, Hi Ho, Up Your Ass We Go. That was his last film. Sorry, we got to stay. We got to not laugh at this. This is a tragedy here. Apparently, he was found dead this week, half eaten in a badger enclosure. I'll say that again. It was in a badger enclosure. Now, I didn't know badgers were our enemy to start with. Mm. I know they're kind of ferocious, but I didn't know they're our enemy. But this is probably the weirdest story I've seen all week.
I've got to say that must have been one fucking hell of a night. Like, just to end up... No, look, I'm sorry. It's just... It's the first place my mind goes. Like, I'm not even being funny about that. I'm just saying that, like... There are so few reasons you would end up in a badger hut. Like, you just give me one good one. Give me one good one that isn't that.
The questions are many at this point. Was he killed? Was he killed and thrown in the badger enclosure? Did he commit suicide and throw... If you're going to commit suicide, why would you throw yourself in a badger enclosure? I mean...
According to the article I'm in here, expert CSI teams had to use fingertip technology to remove his body from the 6 foot deep burrow. Does anybody know what fingertip technology is?
That's where you hold things like this.
Ew.
That's terrible. I'm sorry. We're going to hell for this. We're really going to hell for this whole story.
And as a result, deep in an underground chamber, I'm quoting from an article here on Gawker.
Scroll up. Headline.
The headline of this movie is...
I forgot to mention that he bears an uncanny resemblance to Gordon Ramsay.
The headline is Gordon Ramsay, sex dwarf found dead in badger set.
Gawker, you are just... Oh, man. So
actually, I don't even
incorrect.
Think that's their headline, though. I think that was actually like the Sun Telegraph's headline or something like that when it was reported in England. It's terrible.
It's the thing, it says, deep in an underground chamber by Ministry of Agriculture, experts ahead of a planned badger gassing program near Tregaron, West Wales. Which is...
So they're obviously a problem over there.
We're getting medieval on these badgers.
No wonder they're striking out at our little people.
No.
We're going to hell for this story. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say too. When I was looking this story, we were talking about this thing, and I couldn't remember the name of the guy. I do know now. His name is Percy.
Apparently, he was so successful. He just had a soda fountain diamond encrusted.
Wow.
A soda fountain of all things you can have diamond encrusted.
Look, you know, people like what they like.
Yeah, I guess.
But when I typed in dwarf eaten by and I was going for badger, the first thing that comes up in Google is in the predictive searching is dwarf eaten by hippo.
So apparently,
and then dwarf eaten by hippo video, which we
well,
have
they're
to
bite sized morsels. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really this is terrible.
No. I have to object to that. They're fun sized.
Oh, all right, we got to get away from this story, or we're going to just be where people are going to be.
This is all your fault, man.
People are going to be so mad at us. Now, what is apparently they make a lot of money from being famous doppelgangers. Yeah, but I don't think anybody's going to mistake him for Gordon Ramsay. Can we be very clear on this? He's only 3 foot
maybe
tall.
Maybe in close up.
Yeah. Although, if you look at his picture,
squinting really
he does
hard.
Look a bit like Gordon Ramsay.
He does, actually. It's quite uncanny.
It's kind of spooky.
He
kind of looks like a I don't know, child.
And given their respective professions, they both scream fuck a lot.
I bet that's what he was screaming in the badger.
Anyway. You're doing it wrong. Fuck it.
All right. Are you afraid of Wi-Fi?
I'm afraid of badgers now.
No, Dave, I would like to say for the record that I'm afraid of people that are afraid of Wi-Fi.
Well, apparently, and I was actually unaware that there were people who were afraid of Wi-Fi. I knew people.
Oh, I knew.
I knew there were people who go, oh, it's bad for you. I didn't know there were people who are literally afraid of it.
Dude, I got the best one for you. Had someone come in once and ask me, is there a way to get wireless without having Wi-Fi in my house?
Mm. That's good. There it is. Well, apparently there is actually now a place in West Virginia, Green Bank, West Virginia, which is part of what's called the U.S. Radio Quiet Zone. Now, listen to this. This is from Gizmodo. Now, listen to this, and then I want to just raise a point on this, okay? Apparently, Diane Sho is one of 5%. 5%, that's quite a lot of people. Yeah. 5% of Americans. So 328 million, I think, is the latest census. 5% of 328 million is a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
Who think they suffer from electromagnetic hypersensitivity. They think.
Oh, right.
Or EHS. Symptoms of EHS include skin burning, muscle twitching, chronic pain, etc. Now, this is, mind you, it's probably all in the head, okay?
But
this is.
They sound like.
They get these. They get these symptoms. They're so worked up about it, they get these symptoms.
So
right?
5% of Americans are nutcases, is what you're saying?
I think there's a higher ratio. Oh, I didn't say that. Anyway. all right. This it is caused
such
by exposure.
A politically incorrect show. Sure,
we're back, bitches. What can I say?
Hola, bitches.
It is caused by exposure to mobile phones, Wi-Fi, and other electronic devices.
No, it's not.
This is what they think. All right.
I don't care.
They're allergic to modern life, according to.
I'll just wear a tinfoil hat and leave the
like
fuck
the fact,
alone.
I like the fact that Gizmodo actually goes ahead and just puts in the next line. What the fuck? You know. Anyway. Sho's husband, bless his heart, built a Faraday cage for her to live in.
Okay. Sorry, what was that one more time?
Her husband built her a Faraday cage to live in.
That's fantastic.
It was a wooden frame with two layers of wire mesh and a door.
Man, they must have sex all the time.
Well, what else is there to do in a Faraday cage? Anyway, so it's, you know, to block out those radio signals. Anyway. They spent some time and they found out about this place.
So he has his wife living in a cage. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, she's afraid of Wi-Fi. That's why I keep
That's why
in
she's
there.
In the cage. Now, why is the padlock on the outside, sir?
It's none of your goddamn business.
Anyway, according to this, he found out about Green Bank, West Virginia, and they're all going to go move there because there, wireless signals are banned 21,000 kilometers across the entire region, because it prevents interference with those gigantic radio dishes that they have. You know, those ones that are... So that's exactly my point. Now, you're way ahead of me here. So they banned all these Wi-Fi signals to stop all the interference from the big radar dishes emitting huge amounts of electromagnetic radiation. Nobody has thought about that particular...
So if all these if people...
Is that because they're pointed up, maybe?
Yeah. So people are moving there and they're fine. Then they should just...
Then they're whack jobs. Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much it. Because, I mean, let's face it. You may not have Wi-Fi or mobile phones because it's all banned in this area, but there's huge, big fucking dishes.
And seriously, that's a huge thing. Why don't you just make a hat out of tinfoil and get...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think they actually say that, and at one point they say, you know, these people wear tinfoil hats or something. These are radio telescopes. These are huge. If you've ever seen, I think this is the place where they shot Contact.
Yeah.
With those huge dishes. That's a lot of electromagnetic radiation coming out of those things. So I think you people are crazy and get on with it. Now, according to her, her quote is, when she's around Wi-Fi, my face turns red, I get a headache, my vision changes, and it hurts to think.
I think you've already proven that point.
Yes. All right. Now, Josh, back to your gaming news for a second. There's an article on Kotaku that was very interesting this week, which I do suggest everybody goes and reads in detail. We're just going to cover a few points here. Now that the R rating for games is a given, and it is going to come in, the next question, of course, is immediately that came up was, what happens now with all the games that have been banned A, or games that were rated MA that should have been rated R, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And this person put a very detailed posting up about what will happen. And I think it's very important for people to note that games that are rated MA that really should be rated R won't change straight away because the way the censorship board works, there's a 2-year period.
Yep.
So if a game has been rated, it can't be re-rated for 2 years. at the end of that 2-year period, people can then submit it for a reevaluation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you can't submit it prior to that unless changes have been made. Yeah. So my first thought on that was Valve.
Left 4 Dead 2.
Thank you. Because all they have to do is resubmit now the uncut version, and that's actually got significant differences to be allowed to go in before the 2-year period is up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm actually wondering about this because one thing that everyone knows when they download a game, when they install a game, it has that warning. It says gameplay may differ significantly once you get into online content, whatever, through downloadable content. Games are changing.
Yeah.
So where does that, I wonder where that leaves the classification.
Well, the whole thing about downloadable content and online gaming is still way up in the air. We've discussed this on this show before because they can't rate it.
Dude, and it's a nightmare. It's a Pandora's box the second that we try to put any sort of a label on it, because all of a sudden, this is why nothing has ever happened to this point. Like the reason that no one's turned around and gone, hey, you know, like let's put a classifications on it just to be safe. The reason no one wants to go near it is because technically if we're going to go near it, we all start losing personal freedoms.
Well, not only do we start losing personal freedom, we start losing games. The bottom line is they would have to give, if we didn't have an R rating and so forth, they would have to give World of Warcraft a refused classification because there's no way they could classify it.
Exactly.
Because it is actually dependent on what the interaction of the players are, not the game itself. Yeah. And but as soon as you've got people in there going, fuck you, buddy, you know, you've changed the rating of that game.
Dude, look, seriously, the first thing that comes to mind is that I will not, and I will actively fucking like stand against this, but I will not let them go anywhere near online gaming until they censor the internet. Like until there is like MA for every site I go to, then you can start talking about censoring.
Yeah, but the thing is they like, can't, and that's the...
No, because it's like, unless the content of the game itself is outside classifications, you cannot classify it until you classify the internet.
You can't do that. I mean, self-regulations always can be any way you can do that. So
and Northy has pointed out, so far as protecting the younger gamers, nothing improves for at least 2 years. Absolutely. So basically, there is an appeals process. Things can be appealed. So I have a feeling that at the very bottom of this article, the very end of this article, though, they actually bring up the one that we talked about that was banned 4 weeks ago in our last show, basically.
I'm really looking forward to that game coming out.
House of the Dead Overkill Extended Cut. Yeah. And that got banned, and they're saying that they're going to appeal that. Well, you can sure as hell bet that Sieg is sitting on that now, and they'll wait for 3 or 4 months until the R rating comes in and then appeal it, because they'll walk it through the door then. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
So all these things that are waiting for appeals.
Ways. I wonder how many aggrieved persons will now look at a swag of MA games saying, nope, they should be getting an R rating.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And how many games are now going to be delayed and released because they're going to say, look, this is no point in trying to put this through now.
Yeah.
Just wait, you know? Because I think the R rating, they're talking about early next year as the date when it's coming into effect. They're also going to do a review on all the rating system, which terrifies me no end.
Particularly in the current climate, yes.
Yeah, it terrifies me that they're going to try and do things to film as well, which just kind of, you know, just leave it alone. Leave it alone at this point.
As it stands, this is probably a conversation more for film, actually, but there was a film banned in the last week or two called a Serbian film.
Oh, yes. Did that get banned? Because I knew that was coming. I didn't realize it got banned.
It was refused classification, yeah.
Sons yeah, and bitch. You know
it
what?
Was meant good. To play at a festival as well, so.
Good. Dude, I hope that film never comes out. It's stupid.
A lot of the things, and look, there might be a chance that a lot of films and a lot of games that would be banned, I would never play, I'd never look at.
Dude, I'll
fight for someone's right to watch it if they want to.
But that has been an argument for a long time, which is you may not like something, but somebody else might want to see it, and the fact is, at the moment, our rating system is governed by the fact that people are saying, I don't like it, so you shouldn't be allowed to see it.
Exactly.
And that's not right. You know, there needs to be a uniform set of rules that isn't governed by personal taste, you know, which is the problem that's going on. But this is really a film talk. So, but yeah, as far as games are concerned, there's no miracle pill here.
Yeah.
It's just, but just to let people know that it's not going to be like they're going to immediately take all the games that you love and say, these are now R, or they can't do that. It's not going to happen that
way. It's a positive step either way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. this I thought was interesting. I don't actually understand it, but I thought I'd bring it up because I thought it was very interesting.
Oh, this thing, yes. I did read this. All right,
I don't fully understand. My wife actually sent this link to me, and I went, wow, that's fascinating. I don't get it, but it's fascinating. Mm. Apparently, online gamers, now we're not talking about people who play games of war, Gears of War here. We're talking about people who actually play a game called Fold It. Now, Fold It is a scientifically based game because there's a problem with electron microscopes and so forth. My wife's into electron microscopes, which is everything's in a 2D plane. Right? So to actually look at the way a cell actually looks, you need to be able to see it in 3D. So what this program does is it gives you the 2D image and allows the people through the software to manipulate it and bend it and fold it up and play with it, basically like a Rubik's Cube, to see what they can come up with. Well, apparently the gamers have been given an enzyme that basically is a huge puzzle piece in being understanding AIDS.
Right.
And they cracked it.
Wow.
Apparently, these gamers, in a very short period of time, actually managed to fold this thing up and turn it into a three-dimensional working enzyme. And everybody's going, hell, this is it's taken years for them to try and figure this out. And through this game, they have managed to crack what this thing looks like.
And never, let it never be said again that gaming never did anything useful.
Absolutely. So even this is just a casual game where people go in there and just play with this and look what they've done. I've actually got a picture of it here. So this is the the enzyme that they were playing with. And I have no idea what any of that means, but there you go. And they managed to crack this enzyme, which could lead to possible cures for AIDS and other things, it says.
This is great. Jesus. Isn't it? Because it's like, it gives everyone a reason to play games. Because like every movie since the last Starfighter has been like,
yes.
you've been waiting for someone to come along and tap you on the shoulder and say, excuse me, sir, you did so well at that. We want you to join the CIA. Yeah. You know? You've been, you know, elected into it.
This is the guy who cracked this, you know, has probably been tapped on the shoulder and saying, we want you to join the Royal College of Surgeons now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they ask.
Yeah, sure,
I don't think they ask people like that. They usually just swing along in a black van and throw you in the back.
Hood goes over the head off the guy. Yeah.
So I just thought that was fascinating. And as I say, I don't fully understand it. But if you want to play with Fold It and help these scientists out, if you follow the link in our show notes, you can go and join the Fold It program. And it's just a way, I think it's web-based. Mm-hmm. I think it's a web-based game. And you can join in and have some fun.
Can join the fight against cancer.
Folding up enzymes and cells and seeing if you can make them
sick
make
of
sense
World of
them.
Of Warcraft, put your attention to something important.
Absolutely. Mm. So, I don't know. As I said, I don't understand.
We apologize to anybody who thinks that World of Warcraft is important.
We in no way endorse it.
I don't.
Actually, I don't. I've never played World of Warcraft.
Now, IINet has announced pricing on the NBN. Which I thought was fascinating. The Gizmodo article that actually has this and is kind of a little bit like, well, you know, it's a little bit expensive and blah, blah. But it's interesting because I'm in the high tier. And when you go to the high tier, it affects me not at all. So you can actually go to IINet now and you can choose your plan. So it's not available to everyone yet, but they're just getting plans in place. They're saying you can get what's called the this text is small here. I just got to get the text here. NBN 1 for light users, which is 20 gig down, 20 gig on peak, 20 gig off peak. The NBN 2, which is medium users, 100 gigabyte on peak, 100 gigabyte off peak, and NBN 3 heavy users, 500 gigabyte on peak, 500 gigabyte off peak. That's their terabyte plan. That's what we're on. So we're on that high end anyway. Then you add a turbo pack. Now this is the speed that the NBN will come in at, and you can have 12 megabits down, 1 megabit up. You can have 25 megabits down, 5 megabits up. 50 megabits down, 20 megabits up, or 100 megabits down, 40 megabits up.
Shit.
Now, I actually went and did the little mathematical thing, and now at the moment I'm on the terabyte plan, which is $99 a month.
Yeah.
NBN 3 at the fastest turbo pack is $99 a month.
Aw, snap.
So once this NBN hits, we will be going out in high def.
Why not?
Absolutely.
I'm going to make the switch.
So I will definitely be there. So now, to be fair, if you go down to the lower plans, the ADSL prices are cheaper. Mm. And so it's when you get to the high ends, it they kind of match up, right? But it is fair to note that on the lower ends, it does range from $49.95 a month, which is the 20 gig, 20 gig, and 12, 12.1 megabit plans, and it goes up from there. And I think on ADSL 2, they start at like $20-something. Mm-hmm. So the lower-end plans are definitely cheaper on ADSL 2, but come on, this
Your lower-end users aren't going to care. I mean, it's...
No, and yeah, this is fiber, dude. Get to the fiber. Get to the fiber.
It'll keep you regular.
it says in the articles, as clearly some folks won't be satisfied with this pricing. I am.
Yep.
Yeah.
Suits me. So
I'm putting my hand up.
I'm on iNet now, and I will switch over as soon as the cable is at my door. So,
so you'll probably be dancing as they're laying. It's like, come on. Is it working yet? It's working. Yes.
I get that sort of speed. I'm just live feeding 24 hours a day.
Your whole life will be online.
And Callison is our chat room saying, sounds good. Delta Knight says, bring on the NBN. See, that's the thing. At geek level, we look at this and we go, that's not expensive, because we're all paying for those high-end plans anyway.
Absolutely.
You know? Exactly. So at a geek level, we all look at it and say, okay, I understand the normal people out there might have a few things.
Those normal people have got to just learn to catch up a little. Because it's,
become geeks.
No, because it's funny, because it's like technology is now further than accepted. It's now just like, it's almost, it's gone from a right for people, and it's just, it should be there already. Mm. It's like, people are now like, I tried to download a 600 meg movie onto my iPhone, and it's taking ages. Why is it taking ages? And you're just looking at them going, because you have no idea how technology works.
No, that's exactly
and that's
right.
No one's fault but your own. And yeah, that's the sort of thing. It's like, when someone bitches about those prices, I turn around and I go, and as opposed to what you're getting now?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. I like, Callison says he'll get out and help them lay the cable if it makes it happen fast.
Fucking A, dude.
And
well
Delta Knight says, geeks look at the NBN like it's the Holy Grail. Yeah, absolutely. The American listeners out there, NBN, National Broadband Network. Yeah, screw that. Online gaming, no lag here. No latency here, dude.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so for anybody who's outside of Australia, that's the National Broadband Network. They're laying fiber to the house nationwide. It's just taking a while to get there, so we're really looking forward to it. All right, how are we doing for time here, guys? Oh, yeah, we've got 20-odd minutes. All right. Gumby tried to rob a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, I never trusted that guy.
Although it does show you an age difference, though, because apparently Gumby. Look, we have a news clipping from this. So this is from American News. So have a watch of this.
Imagine giving police a robbery suspect description that goes something like this: he's green, flat, and flexible. Yeah, check out the surveillance video from a 7-Eleven store in San Diego. A man dressed as Gumby entered on Monday, demanding a pack of cigarettes and cash. Well, the clerk thought it was all a big joke. But Gumby got tough, slamming his green padded hands on the counter. Tough. He fumbled for what he said was a gun, but ended up dropping his change on the ground and then retreating in total failure. San Diego police say, if you recognize Gumby, please call them.
So the joke of all of this is that apparently the if you're not of a certain age, Gumby's not going to mean anything to you. And the shopkeeper actually didn't know who Gumby was, and so described him as a green SpongeBob SquarePants to the police. And he was caught because his friend was waiting outside, also on surveillance camera, with just a baseball hat on. And so he was identified, and they managed to track him down. Now, the irony of this whole story is he went in to rob the shop, fumbled around, couldn't get his gun out, dropped his change and left. So he actually left 57 cents less than he went in.
And also, like, what in God's name did they actually arrest him for?
Attempted robbery.
But he didn't get his gun
out.
But he threatened the guy. He just didn't get his gun out. He won't go in. Look, he'll get a slap on the proverbial wrist.
I imagine that someone should just lock him up for, you know,
being stupid.
For everyone else's sake. Yeah. Like, for the rest of us.
Look, I think he needs a psychiatric evaluation, is what I think he needs. All right.
Seriously, guy, green with those shoes? I know.
If you recognize Gumby, you're over 25, says Callison.
Freak that describes everyone here.
I like Freak says Gumby creeps me out a little while he's trying to rob. He's trying
always
to
has,
rob
man. I'm right
limits.
There with you, Freak.
But if you've got a heart, then Gumby's a part of you.
moving right along.
All right. Pirate Party. Remember the Pirate Party?
Yeah.
The Pirate Party was, we talked about these many months ago. they were a Swedish political movement. They were trying to get copyright laws amended and all that sort of stuff. And then they actually won a couple seats in Swedish Parliament. It was amazing. Well, they actually just won a seat in German Parliament this week.
Fuck yeah.
So the movement is growing. My favorite part of this story, though, if I can bring it up, this is from IT News.
Is that he wears an eye patch?
No, that would have been even better. But my
He swings aboard your ship and copies all your DVDs.
My favorite part of this...
Does he stand up in the middle of Parliament and yell, yar?
Yar. My favorite part of this is that he won, but obviously didn't expect to, because he actually is quoted as saying, where is it? He says... where is it? I've lost the quote.
Just while you're looking for it, can I use the word mizzenmast? Because I'll never get another chance.
Mizzenmast. I can't find it on this article. It gives us credibility and proves a chance to prove that pirates are not only idealists, but also able to actually make a difference and change policy in Germany permanently. But he also went on to, which isn't in this, I think it was in the other article I read, where he basically said, I guess we now have to sit down and actually figure out what we're going to do now. So it's nice. It's like they just kind of won and went, we fucking won? What? We don't actually have a policy.
They probably weren't expecting to be taken seriously for at least another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. So I just thought that was very funny. Anyway, so the pirates are out there and they are trying to take over. Josh, just threw this in really quickly for you. Apparently Thunderbolt is finally coming to PCs.
Yeah, I know, I heard.
2012, they're going to finally start putting out some machines with Thunderbolt interfaces. That time.
Well, not really, because it's not like you guys have had anything to fucking do with it.
Not yet. No, except monitors. There's Thunderbolt monitors.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, essentially, it's like everybody that has that argument where they're like, because you aren't the first person that's told me, and they're like, finally, PC's getting it. I'm like, well, what the fuck have you been doing with
it? No, the only reason I say finally they're getting it is not so much that there's anything out there or that Max had it. It's a standard I want to be in all computers, because the more computers that it has in it, the more devices that will come out for it. Mm. So at the moment, I think Lessee has one hard drive that they've been promoting and it hasn't even come out yet. They're sitting there going, it's coming, right? Yeah. And so it's like, if PCs had Thunderbolt, suddenly every manufacturer is going to jump on it and say, well, we got to get it out there. So I want everybody to have this, because let's face it, the amount of throughput that interface has is remarkable. Mm. I want to see that on every machine.
USB 3 isn't really that spectacular. So.
Although, did you see...
It's faster, though.
Yes, USB 3...
I was copying with it.
I don't know. I copied something onto my little portable hard drive the other night, and it was going a lot faster. Sorry, it was going a lot faster. Regularly would, but I've not used Thunderbolt.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did you see the USB key? It's the USB 3 key.
Oh, nice.
Minimum 16 gig and goes up to 2 terabytes.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And it's literally like a stick of gum. It was so thin and so small, and it hasn't been released.
It's like $365?
Probably. It hasn't been released on the market yet, because they still haven't ratified USB 3 as a proper format yet, so they're waiting for it to be ratified, you know? Anyway. I just wish they would just get on with it and get this sort of stuff happening. Anyway, the other thing I thought was very interesting was Windows 8. We're not going to cover Windows 8 today, because there's so much Windows 8 build happened last week, and there was so much Windows 8.
We need to devote a bit of time to
this. I think we need to really go through its features.
My interest is going like this right now.
Yeah,
like
me too. For every good thing I hear, something is bothering me. But this was one feature I really loved that I think that all computers, Mac or PC, should have. And I think if they can make this work, I'm there. It's called refresh and reset. And I thought this was brilliant. According to this, it says viruses and malware happen. We know that. Microsoft isn't necessarily promising that Windows 8 will be virus-free, but they're making it easier to wipe out corrupted system software without wiping out your apps and settings. They call this feature refresh. There's also a quick one-step feature to wipe your device and restore it to factory settings. Just like
nice.
That. And so you sit there and go, about time.
Yeah,
you know?
No, like those are great features. I love when people actually do things like that and get it right.
So Windows 8 is fascinating. I mean, there is actually now a public developer's preview that you can actually download. Anybody can. I'm kind of waiting. I don't want this one. There has been talk that later in the year, the public beta.
And we'll start. And I really want to get on that.
Yeah, when the public beta
hits up. I have spare computers, I'm pretty sure I can find one to install.
Exactly, and I really want to see what it runs like on things like netbooks and stuff. So,
that's what I'm planning.
Yeah, so I'm very curious about it. I am just going to wait till the public beta, because the developer previews are just a little bit undercooked. Mm. Although Microsoft has said that this is the final version, in the sense of nothing new is coming or going. Mm. Now it's just fixing. Unlike when they did the developer preview of, I think it was Longhorn at the time, and then when Vista came out, that was not the same That was not even the same program.
Yeah.
So, Tatooine. Want to go live on Tatooine? Apparently scientists have actually discovered a planet that is actually orbiting two suns.
So this is the binary star system.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of details on it right now. I just think it's really cool that we actually have a planet that is in a binary star system.
Does Jabba live there?
I don't know. Is it a desert planet? That's what I want to know. I was listening to, who were we listening to? We were listening to, I think it was some podcast, where they were talking about theme planets. have you ever noticed that Star Wars is all about theme planets? No planet is ever just one ecosystem.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's dark sides and light sides and different polar caps and so on. But in Star Wars, everything is very simplistic. There's the snow planet, the jungle planet, the desert planet. It's the theme planets. You know? I love that.
They must make great resorts.
All right. We're not going to disgust anybody out today. We're just going to talk in our weird food section. We're only going to have a little bit of fun and say, first of all, I got to say, how far can you take one little two-bit character in Star Wars? All right. These are Porkins.
That is so good.
I don't even know what country they come from. They cannot be sanctioned.
No.
I don't think these are sanctioned in any way. I like to think of 0 gram net carb.
I want someone to get sort of eating them, get down to the last hard-to-reach one, sort of go, get out of there, Porkins, you can't do any good.
I don't think he even got his first and second name, Jack Tono Porkins.
I didn't even know his name was Jack
Tono. I knew it was Jack Porkins, I didn't know about the Tono, so I don't know where they even got that from.
Oh, it's probably the extended.
And when you actually click the link in this article, so do a bit of digging, because it's hysterical, because when you actually go into Being a Geek, I think it is, I think it's Being a Geek, I'm not sure, but they actually talk about how this character has... He's only got like 5 lines in the entire film. He's the X-Wing pilot at the end of...
how many guns have they got, Gold? 5?
He's the one that can't eject because he can't get his stomach past his his ejector seat. But they've actually got an action figure for him, and they've got all this stuff for him. And he's sitting there going, wow. And for those who don't recognize who Porkins is, he was also in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He was one of the... Feds, who turns up.
Yes, he was. Yeah, that's right.
So there you go. So he's actually, unfortunately, he's passed on now. The actor passed on a few years ago.
Well, he flew into the Death Star.
Yes, man, that's what happened in real life. Yeah, that is what happened.
I think you need to stop watching the Blu-rays now.
Yes.
Okay.
Someone needs a break.
And just in case you really needed to do a bit of snacking... We've talked about gummy stuff in the past.
Right.
And we do like our gummy stuff. Mm. But remember we had that huge gummy snake that was like that, and I said that made me look sick? Well, this tops it out. This is the gummy brain.
I don't know. I just don't think I'd feel comfortable eating that.
All right, dudes, this is £7, $32 giant gummy brain.
It's for zombies with a sweet tooth.
I just look at it, and my wife actually looked at the picture. She goes, you can imagine it would wobble and everything.
It's like, you know? Yuck, man.
Yeah, no, yuck. Too much,
and
too much
the fact
gummy.
That it's also just really. Oh, dude. Yeah, and the worst. How manky it would get after a week.
Say,
it'd have like hair on it.
Have his half-eaten brain sitting in.
Can you imagine somebody opening up your fridge and just seeing it there on a plate, and it's like this half-eaten gummy brain?
No, not gonna happen.
Oh, that's my wife's.
Yeah. yes, no, I think that is vile. I think there is too much zombie beaties. Oh, well said, Octane.
Yeah, I've lost a foot to zombie beef.
all right, so yes, that's too much gummy for all of us. I think that's just too much. All right, and just for Richard, we have that. There you go. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so...
It's been a while.
It has been a while. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Now, in our picks of the week, I'm going to actually bow out and say I don't have a pick of this week because I've been moving for 2.5 weeks, and I haven't had a chance.
What place can be your geek pick of the week?
Oh, there you go. The suburb of Kings Grove is my pick of the week. There you go. It's a lovely suburb. Come and live down here. All right, so I think we'll start with small and move to bigger. So, Richard...
Yes, well, look, this isn't a new thing. It's
so cool, though.
But it's cool. It's a new thing to me. This probably won't pick up on the camera at all, and I'll see if it...
So if we can do it on a hand or something?
Can you do it on the back of that?
I can do it on the back of this. I'll see if it...
No, it's not showing up. It's too bright.
It's,
how about on a black shirt? Does it show up on a black shirt?
Yeah.
Does it show up on...
You can see color. Yeah, you can see color, but you can't...
kind of see it. Anyway, it's a Celluon laser keyboard. So it works via Bluetooth, and if you've got a phone and you hate using the tiny little keyboard on a touchscreen phone, it works via Bluetooth, and it just projects onto as big or small a surface as you like. And we've got it set up here on a nice, clean desk. And we both all gave it a test just before the show.
Yeah, we gave it a test and it types really well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic. It's really quite amazingly accurate.
And I'm kind of pissed off that I couldn't scab one.
And I got mine in a promo bag. I'll hold that up too. You probably can't see that, but it's a Cowboys and Aliens one.
Oh, hang on. We've got another camera here, I think.
Oh, here we go. Your camera.
There you go.
So here we go. It's a Cowboys and Aliens.
Actually, turn it back on again. We might get a projection on this.
Ah, here we go.
Yeah, let's have a look here. See if we can get a projection on this black t-shirt here.
There we go.
No, I can't see it. You got to come over this side.
No, it's not good.
No, I can see it. It's just typing furiously on your shirt as well.
Showing mine.
No, we can't see it. All right. It doesn't work. Oh, there you go. There you go. There's a little tiny keyboard. Can we type on that? That's what.
And if you hold it up next to my mic, you might be able to hear that ticking away there. So you can't now. It stopped. So yeah, that's my geek pick of the week.
Nice.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I really like that. All right, Josh, hit us with it. You got the big one.
What about you?
I said the suburb of Kings Grove is my pick of the week.
That's it?
Yeah. I've been moving, man. Leave me alone.
No, that's cool. I decided to go out because I've been wanting to get on this technology for quite
a while. Geek pick of the week is going to be go out and buy the Blu-ray box set of Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh, can I also say the new 52 from DC Comics?
Yes.
Really, really cool.
Although I've got a bit of a thing with those because I've been reading my way through the New 52. This is the huge DC reboot. And it's really interesting because they said that it was all new number ones. You could just jump in and everybody's basically rebooting. But that's actually not entirely true because some of them are actually just the next volumes. Like the Green Lantern ones all continue on from the past story. Yeah. And the Wonder Woman I read last night actually continues on from the previous stories. Mm. So they're not all reboots, but some of them are.
Some of them are. And I've got to say, I'm not liking, look, I've mentioned this many times before, I'm a huge Green Arrow fan, and I haven't liked what they've done with the new
Green Arrow didn't do much for me.
Although, even though it's the same writer as the previous series, which was really good.
And so. I think I read Birds of Prey last night.
Oh, we've got to pick that up.
And they've completely reinvented Birds of Prey. Mm. But
Barbara Gordon's Batgirl again now.
That's right. I read that the other day as well. She suddenly somehow has got her legs back again, and she's gone out to be Batgirl again. And there's a scene between her and Canary at the beginning of Birds of Prey where she's saying, it's nice to see you and Batgirl back in action again.
I think we're back at the start of the DCU. That's why. That's why Green Arrow hasn't got a beard.
Yeah, well, there's only got stubble, you know. Yeah, so I think it's coming. Stubble. So it's kind of I think the DCU's kind of odd because Green Lantern Hal Jordan is in Justice League.
Yeah.
And he's a completely different character to the Hal Jordan who's in Green Lantern.
And it's the same as Superman because Action Comics, and I haven't read Superman yet, telling the story of a Superman in a t-shirt basically.
It's like his first appearance.
His first appearance, whereas the Justice League Superman is the brand new suit they've done with the high collared suit.
Yeah, and the gauntlets and stuff.
And he doesn't have underpants anymore. Probably.
Well, his suit is kind of like armor now. He's armor.
Probably to keep in line with.
And Supergirl's hot, by the way. I read Supergirl last night.
I should have picked up Supergirl.
I read Supergirl last night. She's hot. Her new costume is so hot. She's a babe, man.
Well, there you go.
So anyway, I think it's a mixed bag at this point. I'm reading all of them because it's the first issues. I won't continue with all of them, but I am reading all of the number ones. And like Swamp Thing I found fascinating. But the problem I'm also having is that 22 pages isn't enough to tell these full reboots. So they're literally all, you get as you're just starting to get into it, they all go continued. Yeah. And you go, oh, God.
That's how they get you, man.
I know. Anyway, so that's her. Yeah, she's hot. sorry, I was.
I might pick that one up.
Yeah, she's all right. Jesus. To quote SpongeBob SquarePants, the movie, you're hot. All right, Josh, tell us about your pick.
So as I was saying before, I've been wanting to jump on this technology for a while because it's just pretty much standard that everything we get now is Intel.
Yeah.
As an unwritten rule. And the tech world has been going mental over AMD chips lately. Mm. And like no one's giving it the time of day. A lot of people are just ignoring it. And the rest of them are still in that kind of old school mentality that 9 or 10 years ago we had a bad fucking run of AMD chips, and they've never let people live it down ever since. Like every now it's like no, Intel's the only way to go. It's like So I've been wanting to jump on so I can actually have some support instead of me just saying they're good. And people are like, really? And I'm like, I don't know, but I apparently yeah. they're good. So I went out and I got one of these new, I'll hold it up to camera, one of these new netbooks. It's an Acer Aspire 1.
It's very pretty.
And it is, nice. It's using one of the new AMD C50 chipsets, which... on paper look actually worse than the Intel chipsets because they are running a 1 gigahertz processor, whereas the normal processor for an Intel one is 1.66 gigahertz. So people are immediately like, well, why would I get that one? That one's faster. Two things. Number one, out-of-order processing very quickly means basically that they process the smallest process trees
yep.
first and then move on to the larger ones, which means even though it's running a lower processing set, it actually runs them faster. And then on top of that, they have an inbuilt APU, which is
graphics. Doesn't mean we're kind of it's kind of stepping into RISC territory. It's kind of reduced instruction set territory.
Exactly. Yeah. We are essentially trying to get rid of the graphics card and make it all onboard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's now, something different.
Some
yeah.
people are like, and freaking out about that because everybody wants, you know,
six. Well, it depends on how powerful the processor is.
And also yeah. they want six video cards and all this sort of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, the whole because, SLI stuff. Well, oh,
exactly.
Man.
And people are just obsessed with this. They can't understand that this technology is A, not necessarily for them, and B, not necessarily going to be a bad thing. Yeah. We have, I was talking to one of the reps about this, and apparently one of the mid-range units graphically will outspec an i7.
The problem is that so many people, when you talk about integrated graphics, immediately think back to the days of the motherboards with the integrated graphics, and that's crap. We're not talking about shared RAM and that sort of integrated graphics. We're talking about a multi-threaded CPU, the combination CPU GPU. We're talking about something that actually will handle the graphics, not just some sort of, you know. And I think it's fantastic. I think if it can be done well, the less hardware you've got in there, the faster things get.
And the great thing about this is that it's running a 256 graphics chip on the unit, which is the equivalent of a 256 graphics card. And this thing is amazing. Like, not only does it run really well, and this has already always been a bit of a problem that I've had with netbooks, is essentially they're all too fucking slow.
Yeah.
A 10-inch is a great-sized computer.
Well, they're effectively mobile phones in a laptop.
And it's horrible because, I mean, like, you're running an operating system that isn't really built for this kind of thing. And it's like, when you get this unit, it runs relatively well. Its screen resolution is 720, not 600, which means you just get that little bit more screen real estate, which means that they're usable. You can actually take them out and use them for things. I did photo editing on it a couple of days ago. Yep. Worked perfectly. High-res images. It has an HDMI out, which means that I can plug it into TVs or monitors or anything like that. And on top of that, I can game with it. That's cool.
The real key.
I mean, I've got Dungeon Keeper 2, which I know isn't new, but it's still running. Deus Ex 1 runs
fine.
How does
it handle newer games, though?
I've only run a couple of things on it at this stage. Like, I'm kind of working up to it. But technically, if you look at the system specs, bar the processing speed, it should be able to run Half-Life.
That's bad. I haven't tested Half-Life 1 or 2.
Definitely 2. I didn't look at the specs for 1. It would run 1 fine.
It'd be interesting to put Steam on there and see if Portal 2 would run on it.
Definitely not. Just telling you that right now, Dave. Not happening. No. Look, it's not that good, but essentially we are looking in the right direction.
We're looking in
things,
the right
direction. And after playing with this thing, I am curious to see the AMD higher end machines because the price difference is ridiculous.
What I'm a little bit sad to hear is this morning I read a report that said Intel and Android had just signed a deal together to create Android based netbooks using the Atom processors. What I'd really like to have seen is to see Android and AMD sign a deal together because the Atom processor sucks, quite frankly.
But dude, this is the thing. The Atom processor would run really well with Android because Android doesn't require anything to be able to run. Whereas I'm actually kind of glad AMD has jumped on board with Windows because essentially they are gaming machines.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like essentially these devices are meant to be better than a netbook. So essentially they're trying to sell for a different market.
There's a term for them now, isn't there? They're not called netbooks anymore. They're called
miniature laptops.
Something like that. They're called. They're trying to differentiate them now. It's the same thing that the MacBook Air falls into. It's like micro notebook or whatever it's called. They're calling them now. Delta says, I think AMD is looking more gamers than anything else. Yeah, pretty much agree. Mm-hmm. I think what we're seeing here is we're seeing the late 90s all over again.
Yeah.
Because AMD, if you remember, AMD and Intel were at each other's throats with the Athlon and the Pentium 3s. Mm. And now it seems like we're repeating it all over again. What the hell are you looking
at? It's Twitch film. They always have interesting photos at the top of their site.
That's a good photo. All right. So what is it against the Acer?
It's the Acer Aspire 1522 is cool. The model.
I'll make sure I write that down and put it in the show notes for everybody.
It's got a 10-hour battery life. It's amazingly fast, and I can play games, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Did you look at that picture for Human Centipede 2?
Yes, I did. Have you looked at it closer?
Yeah, I went look closer this morning. Very disturbing image, that.
Yeah, I'll bring it up on screen for Josh.
Yeah, all right, cool. We're going to finish this show off while you have a look at the Human Centipede 2. All right, if you agree or disagree with anything we've had to say today, you can send your feedback to feedback@geekactually.com, or you can send us a voicemail, 0280113167. Remember, we are back now, so send your feedbacks through. We'll be glad to hear from you. We will start opening the phone lines and stuff as of next week. Now that we're kind of getting everything feeds and everything under control, we'll start doing everything back to normal. You can get merchandise, join our fan page, follow us on Twitter, do all of those things. You'll find all of those links. Just go to geekactually.com. Everything we do is there somewhere. There's a big follow us button. You can't miss that one. Josh, where can people find out more about you?
RawDLC.com is a gaming website. Head over there and check it out. There's a whole bunch of new stuff. We've got a couple of new videos coming up for the Studio 33 stuff, and soon, hopefully, a site revamp.
Yeah, it's looking good, actually. It's looking good.
Cool.
All right. And Richard, where can people find more about you?
They can find me on therealbits.com.
Funny, that site right there.
This is the site that's in front of me. Therealbits.com, RELBits.com, or just on Twitter at DVDBits.
Fantastic. Okay. You can watch us record this show live every Saturday starting at 12 p.m. Now, there may be, just to let people know, in the future, because we're now so far out in a different suburb, there may be shows where we are joined via Skype or what have you, but we'll always be here. It's just depending on, we may not always be in studio together, depending on how things pan out, but the show will always be the same. So just bear with us.
A small piece of us will always be with
us. Always be here. You can watch us record the show usually typically around 12 p.m. We're a bit late off the mark today because what happened? The board crashed. That's right. every Saturday. That's Australian Eastern Standard Time, but it's not for long. It will be daylight savings.
So next month.
Next month. At the moment, it's still standard time, UTC plus 10. That's 12 p.m. Australian time. So if you're in America, that's roughly, I think it's about 5 or 6 in the evening on a Friday. To help you out, that's Western America. All right. And that's geekactually.com/live. And I have nothing else. I think that's all I've got for today.
I'm done.
And we'll do this all again next week. And now stay tuned, because on our live feed, we are going straight into Film Actually. And you can come and join us for that. This week, we are going to be doing Abduction.
Oh, God. Someone might want to be taken away in the middle of this.
All right. To once again, steal Delta Knight's theme. Thank you very much, Delta. We're going to say geek on, everybody, and we'll see you all next week. Bye now. If you only listen to Geek Actually, then you're only hearing half the story. You need to shoot over to geekactually.com or iTunes and subscribe to Film Actually, the official movie podcast at geekactually.com. Same crew, same fun, but we talk nothing but movies, and it's a lot of fun. Come over and join us every week. You can also watch it live on our feed, geekactually.com/live, every Saturday afternoon. See you there.